Yes.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is John Stobbs. I'm here on behalf of Warren Ogus. May it please the court, Mrs. Garrison. The focus of my argument, I'd like to focus on the characteristics of Mr. Ogus as well as his job in law enforcement to hopefully show that the sentence that Judge Herndon imposed was unreasonable. First of all, regarding his work as a transporter of prisoners, I think that he is in a unique position due to the fact that he transports federal prisoners back and forth from the federal courthouse to the county jails, and also worked in the with the Marshal Service to transport prisoners to the federal facilities. The what I think sets him apart for this, and why some other sentence less than the sentence that was imposed should be given, is because of the fact that he's...
But that's not the standard. The standard is whether this was an unreasonable sentence.
I understand that, but he's...
statutory sentencing factors. So why is it unreasonable?
It's unreasonable because of the fact that he's in a position of danger due to the fact that he transports these prisoners back and forth.
I don't understand you.
Do you mean
what does that prison? Have to do with his... He's not going to be in danger in prison.
Sure he will be. If you're transporting federal prisoners who are charged with serious drug crimes, bank
robbery... Do you think he's going to be a target of retaliation?
I think that if someone in prison is...
Well, then he can, be in solitary, protective custody.
I suppose that's an option, but it's...
Is that what you think makes... the fact that he will have a harder time...
Yes, ma'am.
Is that what you think makes this the exceptional case that would take it outside the guidelines?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, look, it doesn't make any sense, because you're saying policemen, judges, child molesters, all should get lighter sentences because they're very unpopular prisoners. That can't be right. Right, apparently prisoners very much dislike child molesters, so these people are at risk.
You don't have to take a test.
And you're saying that's unreasonable for a judge who doesn't want to give a weight to the fact that the person has a law enforcement background.
A child molester doesn't have a title as child molester until he's convicted. A police officer has a whole career of being a police officer and something in law enforcement until they get to prison. And I understand what you're saying, and it's a valid point, but I think that in a situation like...
Not really. This is something you argue to the district judge, and if you don't persuade him, forget it.
The next point I'd like to talk about is the characteristics of Mr. Ogus that I think that make him unique in terms of where he falls. And I understand the reasonableness argument, the same argument that is often made at the district court level. And here, my position is that what makes him unique and different from other people is the fact that what he has done with his life in terms of his family. And when everyone...
That's the standard pitch that people make to sentencing judges.
And every person that I've ever been at a sentencing judge, I always say that. And this is a unique situation, Judge Posner, because of the fact...
You mean you say it in every case that it's a unique case?
No, not a unique case. I say I try to tell the sentencing judge to have some sympathy because of the family. And most sentencing judges come back and say exactly what Judge Herndon said, that in all sentencings, the family is always adversely impacted by the incarceration of the defendant.
You see, the problem here is this. All the reasons that you are giving in support of your argument are already included in the guidelines. In other words, poor health, law-abiding nature, children, openness in revealing his disability status to his coworkers, the taxes that he paid, and the character references. Unfortunately, none of these are unusual factors, and none are present here in such a degree that a deviation from the guidelines would be imperative. You know, I mean, this is we see this over and over and over.
And Judge Herndon was extraordinarily conscientious about this sentencing. And I think he took two or three recesses to go back and look at it and think about it. And he came out and he mentioned the family situation. And for me, when I was getting ready to speak today, I was wondering, you know, in our society, is it unique anymore for a single parent to raise, three kids on their own? And I just think in this situation, what makes this unique is what he has been able to do in raising his children and what he did with the, I guess, ill-gotten gains and that. But I understand what your position, but I just, the fact that he has been able...
Very low sentence, though. Right? Out in 2.5 years.
I guess low to us is different than, you know, if you're serving it, it's a long sentence, I think. But it is a fairly low sentence.
You know, you got a very sympathetic guy here. There's no question about
yeah.
it. And if I was the district judge, I might have been inclined to give a different sentence, a lower one here with the health problems particularly. But this is really the district judge's call, and to brand what he did here as unreasonable, I don't see how you can climb that mountain.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stavis. Ms. Garrison?
May it please the Court, good morning, Your Honors. I don't have much to add. I did want to address one point that Mr. Stavis made during his presentation. He asked this Court to consider the defendant's employment as a prisoner transporter and the risk that he might be subjected to in the Federal Bureau of Prisons. This very argument, Your Honors, was made to Judge Herndon at sentencing. He addresses this argument on pages 137 through 138 of the sentencing transcript. Judge Herndon had specifically asked one of the character witnesses, was Mr. Ilgus, when transporting prisoners, was he courteous and respectful to them? The answer was yes. Judge Herndon explained in sentencing that in his experience, inmates are respectful of correctional officers who show them respect. He also distinguished Mr. Ilgus from a law enforcement officer who would investigate cases or make arrests, and found him at lesser risk for that reason.
You know, the judge, one thing that troubled me a bit, he seems to have found that Mr. Ilgus was likely to be a recidivist because he reapplied for disability after he was charged in this case. And I'm wondering whether or not that was an appropriate finding. I mean, do we know how the SSA ruled on that application? It's possible that a man with his health would qualify. And so if that were the case, that certainly would not be a reason to label him as a recidivist.
Your Honor, at sentencing, the defendant presented his family physician, who, during the course of his testimony, particularly on cross-examination, explained that Mr. Ilgus was someone who could meet his daily living needs. He was ambulatory. He was not wheelchair-restricted, didn't use walking devices. The government presented during sentencing the testimony of the Social Security case agent who reviewed this new application for Social Security and who summarized some of the statements that the defendant made in describing his medical condition after conviction prior to sentence being imposed. And the district court, Your Honor, found that those statements really betrayed a tendency to exaggerate. And I think that was his problem. I mean, and we've summarized it in the statement of facts, but basically this new disability application represented an inability to walk without holding on to furniture and an inability to feed himself with utensils. And I think it would be quite fair to say that the district court could well find, and just having heard from the treating physician, that this is a little bit exaggerated here. And I think that that was his concern, just a propensity to exaggerate on those applications. And I think he considered that insofar as he imposed a special condition of supervised release requiring this defendant to notify his probation officer before making any additional claims for disability, the implication being somebody ought to look him over closely, I think. I have nothing to add beyond the briefs or the supplementation of authority that we filed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Barrett. Mr. Stobbs, do you have anything further?
No, sir.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And
you,
you were appointed, were you not?
No, sir.
You were not. You were, well, we still thank you. Thank you.